U.S. intervenes in his nation's six-day conflict with Israel. CBS's Ed O'Keefe says President Trump's met with top advisors.
The president's main focus in that meeting, whether the U.S. should join Israel in striking Iranian nuclear sites, according to multiple sources. Doing so would appear to go against Trump's longstanding vow not to engage the U.S. in new foreign wars.
Record heat in the forecast for the Northeast. CBS's Rob Marciano.
I-95 on Sunday into the 80s. And into next week, we're looking at temperatures that will get into the 90s and maybe 100 degrees for a good chunk of the East Coast.
New report says countries are making progress on sustainable energy. The World Economic Forum's Espen Melum.
Most of the energy investments and the clean energy investments globally are going to advanced economies and to China. Only about 15% are going to emerging and developing countries.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin's highest court rules in a multi-year battle. Joanne Krulatz reports.
A unanimous Wisconsin Supreme Court has sided with the Democratic State Attorney General in a long-running battle over a law passed by Republicans who wanted to weaken the office in a lame duck legislative session more than 6 years ago. The court ruled unanimously that it's unconstitutional to require the Attorney General to get a permission from a Republican-controlled legislative committee to settle certain civil lawsuits. The court said the law is a separation of powers violation. The Republican-controlled legislature and outgoing GOP Governor Scott Walker weakened executive powers just weeks before Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Democratic Attorney General Josh Call took office.
Wisconsin Rapids is hosting a statewide business incubation conference. Mayor Matt Zacher says the goal of the conference is to identify new ways to start businesses in Wisconsin and to share ideas about what communities can do to incubate small businesses. He wants to make sure that regulatory hurdles aren't discouraging businesses from opening. The Connecting Entrepreneurials Community Conference runs through today. Independence Day plans are announced in Wisconsin Rapids. On Friday, July 4th, fireworks will be launched from the Wisconsin River in downtown Wisconsin Rapids. Prior to the display, the Mill Creek Cow Tippers will perform from 6 to 9 p.m. on 2nd Street between Grand Avenue and Jackson Street bridges. The Wisconsin Rapids City Band will perform outside of the Centralia Center starting at 7:30 p.m., The national anthem will be performed by Alexis Walton before the fireworks show begins around 9:30. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers battle the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers take on the Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. The Miz, Jacob Mizorowski, making his second career start for Milwaukee. The Brewers won for 10 last night with runners in scoring position on the way to a 5-3 loss to the Cubs. Pat Murphy.
You look at the box scores tonight. If you look at 15 box scores, there's going to be six teams that are something like that. You got to hit with guys in scoring position, and we didn't.
The Cubs now with a 6.5 game lead over Milwaukee in the NL Central. Hockey, the Florida Panthers, skating past the Edmonton Oilers 5-1 to win the Stanley Cup for a second year in a row, 4-2. NFL, the Packers' new president and CEO says there's no immediate plans to renew the contracts of Matt LaFleur or GM Brian Gutekunst. I asked Ed Policy what will be his focus as he takes over.
Keep the Packers in Green Bay. The big things there will be continuing to maintain and evolve Lambeau Field so that it remains not just iconic, but also state-of-the-art.
That's the new Packers president, Ed Policy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and maybe a stray afternoon thunderstorm and a high near 80. A slight storm chance this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, mid-50s. More sunshine for Thursday, warm and muggy with a few showers and thunderstorms by Thursday night. Highs mid-80s. Currently, it's 66.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the writer and producer from Bridge to Terabithia, David Patterson. Then we discuss men's mental health with DeLorean Walls from Brothers to Brothers. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It is 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday, June 18th. I'm up here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2. We will be joined shortly by Earl Ingram, and then later Melissa Baldoff. James Kelly will give us an update from our Chippewa Falls newsroom as well. But first, here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot to tell us that there's some rain going on out there. And then there's going to be some more rain. And then there's going to be some heat. Some high heats.
You really simplify it, Pat.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's basically what's going
to
happen.
It's wet and then it's hot. Thankfully, I don't have to give you the specifics. Brittany tracks all of those things. So here's where she says it's going to go.
Here we go. It's summer, right? Well, right. Not officially yet. Meteorologically, it is. But the first day of summer is just 2 days away, and we are definitely going to be feeling it. So here's what we've got going on this morning. It's upper 50s temperature-wise up north. We've got some sunshine. Lucky you. Down south, not the same. It is cloudy, overcast, low 70s, so a little bit warmer. And we've got some rain moving in. Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, you're about to get some. Also, more is moving into western parts of the state. South, a lot of southern parts of the state are going to get hit with some soaking rain today. We could see some thunderstorms embedded in there, too. And far southeast, you could see some potentially flash flooding events going on because you could get 1 inch to 2 inches of rainfall total throughout today. So areas down south, it's going to be a soaker. Up north, a little bit less of that. We will get cloudy and we will see chances for showers and storms, especially this afternoon and evening. But none of them are really looking strong or severe. So as we go through tomorrow, we are going to start to heat things up a little bit more. Upper 70s to the low 80s. Showers and storms are expected again in the afternoon, and then another round at night, which could be strong to severe. And then, of course, more on Friday as a warm front lifts through. Those have the potential to be strong to severe once again. And then we're going to be in the sauna. That's what I'm calling it, because dew points are going to be in the mid-70s, which is pretty oppressive. That is very muggy, hot, and humid conditions. Paired with temperatures in the 90s, our heat index is going to feel like 100 degrees on both Saturday and Sunday. So start hydrating right now.
So we've got grandkids coming to visit, the younger ones this weekend, 3 and 6 years old. And so at first we thought, well, okay, pontoon ride, that's going to be a must. But then we thought a little bit more about the forecast and decided that we got to head to the garage today. We got to dig out all those sprinkler toys.
There's a lot of really
a little kid slip and slide, and of course all the little little water guns and things like that. So, if anybody's interested, right low backyard, we'll have all the water toys out this weekend.
That is the best way to stay cool and have some smiles too. How adorable! I love it.
You know, when you mentioned the first day of summer, it gives me that every season changes. I get this whole thing about the Earth, you know, being on its axis the way that it is. And that's why, you know, you have like up at the North Pole, you're going to have 6 months of daylight, you know, as opposed to 6 months in the wintertime of complete and total darkness. And it's still, I know this goes way beyond the weather, but why are we tilted the way that we are? It's 23.5 degrees because I looked it up because that's what nerds do. But why? Why is it tilted that much, which gives us seasons and all those other good things? But, you know, there's speculation that maybe a long time ago, you know, there was a collision somewhere, you know, out there that knocked us off our axis a little bit. But
it sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the kind of thing, you know, as some other planet went, oop, I'm just going to slide by you right there. Don't worry about me.
And they said, oop. Yep.
Yeah, they said, oop, as they went by, of course. Yep. And so it's just that's just my every 3 month appreciation for having seasons, because trust me, there's a lot to be said for living in the Caribbean, and don't get me wrong, there was a lot of good stuff about it, but when you leave and then come back, you realize how much you missed actual seasons.
Oh, 100%.
You know, I'm a big fan of that. So sometimes you look at things with new eyes. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You're welcome. You too.
And there's my transition to looking at things with new eyes. And that would be bringing in Earl Ingram here to be talking about things that he covers in Milwaukee for Civic Media. There he is, the pride of Washington High School. Earl, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for being here. When I say looking at things with new eyes, what I mean about Milwaukee is this. Sherry and I lived there from 1987 to 1991 while she was attending the medical college, and both our daughters were born at the old St. Luke's Hospital down there in Milwaukee. And as you know, with any major American city, it goes through its cycles. And the cycle in the late 80s, early 90s was not necessarily kind to Milwaukee. And I go back there now and look at it with a new set of eyes. And I fall in love with it all over again each time going down there at the improvements that are being made. Obviously, it is far from perfect. There's always work to be done. But the fact that there are people willing to do that work, and it leads us into one of the stories we wanted to share this morning, and that's the Milwaukee skyline, which back in 1987 was one building, you know, the old U.S. Bank building and whatever it's called now. That skyline looks a lot different after all these years, and there are folks around the country that have taken notice.
Well, actually, I'd say folks around the world.
Yeah.
Architectural Digest has rated Milwaukee skyline as one of the top 17 in the world. And that's an amazing accomplishment for the city of Milwaukee, considering it's in competition here in the United States. When you think about skylines, you think about New York City, Chicago, Seattle, you know, and those types of cities. And then you also think globally, you think about, Hong Kong, Dubai, Tokyo, Shanghai, Toronto, those are all spectacular skylines, and now Milwaukee is listed as one of those top 17. And so for people who live in this state who have not visited Milwaukee, they have no concept, no clue whatsoever about the beauty that is downtown Milwaukee and the skyline that continues to evolve.
Well, and again, it does so in a way that when you go, well, wait, it's one of those smaller cities. Well, yeah, what you don't have there is you don't have the clutter. You have the diversity of the designs, which means the diversity of the usage that's in there. And again, it really reflects improvements that have been made in the city over time. And I mean, those improvements are, you know, continuing to this day. I mean, you've got something that's going up there. What's it going to be called? The largest ever constructed building, something like that.
It's called the Edison. It's mass timber, an engineered product created by combining layers of lumber into strong material touted for its environmental benefits and aesthetic appeal. Milwaukee had the largest building of that nature, and they held that for a few years, and then in Australia, okay, they eclipse that tower that Milwaukee has had the honor of having the largest building, and we now turn around and we're eclipsing the one that they have in Australia. But beautiful, beautiful architecture, beautiful, beautiful building. And so again, if you people who haven't been downtown Milwaukee, the aesthetics of it during the summer, we're about to kick off Summerfest on tomorrow. And if you haven't been to the Summerfest grounds and that lake that's has been developed to some degree, spectacular.
The building itself, that as Earl mentioned, is called the Edison, and it is going to be 32 stories tall, 378 apartment units there. And again, most of the materials will be coming from U.S. supplies, but not all of them by any stretch of the imagination. And I do recall seeing a story sometime back that, you know, Donald Trump's tariffs are going to cause some issues with construction here. Because, again, we get a lot of timber, say, from Canada, for example, one of our best allies. But Donald Trump is picking a fight with all of our allies here. And I can't even tell you for sure, Earl, if these tariffs on timber are going to affect the building of the Edison Tower. I don't know if they know, because with Trump, you get something one day and then you hear something else the other day, which, again, if you're building one of the largest ever, you know, mass timber buildings, that's got to be a little perplexing.
Well, I'm pretty sure that it probably is, because I don't know if that timber is produced here in this country. And so their plans for erecting this building had been in the making for somewhere around 3 to 5 years. And now they broke ground just the other day. And so, you know, we'll see. But after it's all said and done, it's going to be another beautiful, beautiful addition to what is absolutely a beautiful, beautiful downtown Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was looking at, I did just find an article from Tom Dakin in the Journal Sentinel about the imported materials that are there. And some of those imported materials are not going to arrive until spring of next year. And so apparently it's noted in the article here that creates a lot of uncertainty regarding how trade negotiations are going to ebb and flow over the next year or so here. But when all is said and done, because this mass timber type of construction is more environmentally sustainable, it is closer to carbon neutral, it's going to reduce construction costs. And again, it just comes back to the smart kind of construction that's going on in Milwaukee and some of these other cities. Because, I mean, you know, Earl, anybody can slap something together, but when you actually put some thought into the process, you end up having a downtown that is much more, you know, workable as a result, and where people actually still want to work and play in it. The funny thing is, for all the grousing you hear from some of our suburban friends out there, they still need a place like Milwaukee to come work and play.
Well, absolutely. And that will be forthcoming in the next month or so with all the different festivals and all the different activities that take place in downtown Milwaukee.
Yeah, they sure will. Not the least of them being the Brewers taking on the Cubs. Now, they're doing that at Wrigley right now, but, you know, that Central Division showdown, you know, will be coming back here to Milwaukee before you know it. The Cardinals were just here in town last week. The Brewers, unfortunately, are on the losing end of yesterday's opener of that series with the Cubs. I believe the final score was 5-3 here. There was this two-run home run by Isaac Collins at one point. And unfortunately, Chad Patrick, the starting pitcher, just couldn't hold back a fifth inning rally. So the Cubs go on to win by a score of 5-3. The Cubs are now up in the division, 6.5 games over the second place Brewers. They'll go back tonight to Wrigley Field and try to even out the series. The pregame will be starting at 6:30 on several Civic media stations. Jacob Mizorowski will be pitching in his second ever major league game. And that's good news, because, I mean, the kid had a no-hitter through five innings. but then was feeling some cramps and some soreness and left the game. I was fearing the worst, but apparently, you know, things are okay, that he's getting set to get started against the Cubs here again tonight. So you can hear that on several Civic Media stations. A local update is coming up next for some of you. For those of you hanging here, we're going to continue our conversation with Earl Ingram. I think we'll get into a little Summerfest chatter coming up. And when we're all back together in our next half hour, we'll be talking to Melissa Baldoff. That's all here from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
Hello, doorman. I have questions. Word around Wisconsin Rapids is that DoorWorks is the business to ask about all things doors.
Why, yes. For over three decades, we've been the premier door service provider in Wisconsin Rapids and the surrounding areas.
What services do you provide? And can I order a custom style or color?
We supply, install, and service a variety of doors. If we don't have it in stock in our large warehouse, we customize the style, color, and more. Call DoorWorks for a free estimate today.
Get those oars ready. It's time for Rafter Baseball. Your Wisconsin Rapids Rafter season is here, and there's never been a better time to get to legendary Winter Field. They have new and classic promotions going on all summer. And remember, if you can't get to the park, every hit, every pitch, every win is at 97.5 WFHR. We will have every game broadcast here as it's been for 16 years. Get to know the team with our segment, Meet Your Rafters, and listen for ticket giveaways. It's going to be a memorable summer with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and your 97.5 FM WFHR. Let's play ball.
This fall, build your perfect Wisconsin football game day with a mini pack. Pick any three games, including Big Ten matchups like Washington, Iowa, and Ohio State, and save while cheering on the Badgers. Big matchups, big moments, and it's all on your schedule. Football mini packs are available now. Create your custom game day experience today at uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. First touchdown to the fifth quarter. There's always something to enjoy. Football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information. And WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. For this June 17th, 2025, have your host James J. Mail up here, welcoming into the studio our good friend, CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Hello.
Hey, good to have you with us, Terry. How you doing?
Great. It's great to be here.
We got a lot of things to get to today, but before we get ahead of ourselves, I want to rewind a little bit with you. We've wrapped up a couple of things with the United Way. The big diaper drive that was going on from Mother's Day to Father's Day wrapped up. How did that go?
Yeah, it went very well. Our office is literally piled full of diapers right now, and I really can't tell you a quantity, because we kind of had to push pause. We are also, today we wrapped up our Great Book giveaway, so that is, you know, was a Reading in the Park series. Wrapped up today at the Vesper Library. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to having numbers on that. Looking forward to get someone counting diapers. And we also, you know, going on right now as we speak, is the construction for United We Can. So, you know, I don't have a lot of data to share with you about those events, but I will tell you, Great Book giveaway, all of the locations were well attended. So that is great. You know, getting books in the hands of kids is a huge huge priority for us. And I'm actually participating today, tomorrow, and Thursday in a conference put on by the Dollywood Foundation for Imagination Library. So it's the 30th year of Imagination Library, which is, you know, a program that's very dear to us at United Way, funded by our Women United. So I'm getting a lot of information, you know, from them at the same time. So it's a great time to be in the reading space and book space.
What kind of things do you go over that? And do you get to meet Dolly?
Well, she was right. It's virtual. They had talked about doing it in person. So I was kind of looking forward to that. You know, I was like, oh, maybe I could just make my way there. But you know, really, it was kind of neat because the opener this morning, and I can't even speak high enough about the virtual conference platform that they used, like flawless. I mean, I was quite impressed, right? Like, so there's, I mean, there's general sessions, there's breakout sessions, just like if you went to a conference and you just select, you know, which ones you're interested in, and it'll say, oh, your next one is in 5 minutes, and you know, pretty cool. But anyway, the opening session this morning was actually a really cool message from the Library of Congress. And so the 100,000th book was from Imagination Library was donated to the Library of Congress, and then so they did a little replay of that when that happened, and then the millionth book was also you know, so really cool. But you know, that's one of the things that when we are out at Great Book Giveaway and when we are doing diaper distribution, you know, Imagination Library is one of our priorities, is getting kids in our communities, because we did expand that into the Adams County part of our service area too. So our entire United Way service area, all children birth to age five are eligible for free books through through Imagination Library. So, you know, I think that that's quite noteworthy. We have about 400 kids enrolled right now, which, you know, sometimes people are like, oh, only 400, you know, especially the women that are part of Women United, you know, they'd like to see every kid. But really, you know, when you think about that, that's like 22% of the eligible kids. That's it's actually a pretty good rate. However, we would love to have more kids. So, you know, if you know of a child who resides in Southwood or Adams County and they are not receiving Imagination Library books, they can sign up. The child has to reside Southwood or Adams, not, you know, the grandparent or the aunt or uncle, you know, really because of our capacity to fund the program. But we do encourage you to sign kids up. And so the way that you do that is visit our website, uwswac.org, and there is a enrollment form, or you certainly can visit any local library. They all have the enrollment forms. You know, we're working to just make sure that those are out there and available. Or just give us a call if you're not sure. You can reach us at 211. They can help direct you. But you know, reading is just... it's so important. And, you know, thank you for joining us, being a reader, a guest reader at the zoo. So, you know, we had a whole ton of awesome volunteers. And like I said, that wrapped up today. So super excited about planning next year already.
And a big shout out to all the volunteers, all the people that were helping out with that one. That was such a successful and fun event once again this year. And as you say, looking forward to next year. I want to thank all the volunteers, all the people donating books as well, and so much of that. And Terry, as far as the diaper drive goes, the fact that numbers are here or there, the fact that you look at that and you can't count them just off the top of your head, that's a great sign.
A ginormous pile of diapers. And we have monetary donations to spend yet. So we've got more diapers coming. So we will actually not distribute diapers until probably like July 1st. We just need to get everything, kind of get our bearings. They will be distributed in Adams County to the WIC program. And then here in Southwood County, they get distributed to Focus because they become part of the food pantry staples. So Focus, the Family Center, and First Choice Pregnancy Resource Center. We did already make a large donation over at Focus because we just were having, we didn't have room. So we took some stuff over there mid-drive, so that's really awesome. And then we did have the opportunity to write a grant for the diaper drive, which we did receive, but we are not going to distribute those diapers right now. We're going to distribute everything we collected, and then in September and November, we're going to do another drop of diapers with those funds, because, you know, then that way they have a steady stream of supply versus just a whole mountain at once. So our goal is to, you know, make sure that these are available. So So, you know, hats off to the community. Really great showing. Again, I also expanded this program into Adams this year. Mm-hmm. A little bit lighter there, but that's how it was, you know, for Southwood the first year that we did it too. So, you know, yeah, we have to grow into it, right? Yeah. But the things that we, the dollar, or the, I'm sorry, the diapers that we were able to leverage still, you know, make their way back into each respective community. So we're super pumped about this.
And one thing that we are very pumped about, and we've got a lot of things going on in the area in the next couple of weeks, and this week alone, let alone the next couple of weeks, Rapids has some signature events, I think. The Cranberry Blossom Fest, the Water Ski Show tournament. These are signs of summer. I know for us, and I'll just speak for myself, certainly, the United We Can event is one of those signature events and those key events to me that, okay, we are in summer. It is go time. We are having fun. It is warm out. It's nice out.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The state Supreme Court has struck a blow to the Republican-led legislature, saying lawmakers can't hold up the Attorney General from finalizing settlements in lawsuits. In a decision issued Tuesday, the court said when the lawsuit involves things like civil enforcement, those, the court said, are up to the executive branch. It partially undoes a 2018 lame duck law requiring the Department of Justice to get approval from the legislature's budget committee before settling. The state Supreme Court has a liberal majority, but Tuesday's opinion was unanimous and written by one of the court's more conservative justices, Brian Hagedorn. The decision comes as Call announced yesterday that Wisconsin and 54 other attorneys general plan to move forward with a $7.4 billion settlement with opioid maker Purdue Pharma. The suit accuses Purdue of aggressively marketing painkillers and fueling the opioid crisis. Call says while the money helps, it's impossible to fully make up for the harm.
There's been an enormous amount of money spent on public health care costs. And much more importantly than that, there has been devastating loss of life as a result of this epidemic. One of the things that we have known throughout this process is that in seeking accountability from companies like Purdue, while we will be able to get a measure of accountability, we're never going to be able to get the kind of recovery that I believe matches the scale of the harm done, even in dollars and cents terms, let alone given the horrific human toll from this epidemic.
Under the proposed Purdue settlement, the Sackler family would be shielded from future lawsuits from Wisconsin. Under the agreement, Wisconsin would receive around $80 million, with payments spread out over the next 15 years, but more than half the money could come more quickly, in the next 3 years. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Carrie Bradshaw, a.k.a. Sarah Jessica Parker, recently spoke to Huffington Post UK. During the interview, she talked about the backlash she received for playing Bradshaw on HBO's Sex and the City. Parker discussed the double standard between men and women and how women are treated differently when they're portrayed as cheaters on TV. Parker made a point to say that her character on And Just Like That is judged similarly decades later. New episodes of And Just Like That premiere Thursdays on Max. For those of you who are like me and live in a remote area, there is good news regarding a new comedy to check out. Friendship is now available to stream, according to the New York Post. The A24 cringe comedy that asks the question, should men have friends, stars Tim Robinson and Paul Rudd and had a modest but successful limited theatrical run. Friendship is available to stream on Amazon Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy and maybe a stray afternoon thunderstorm and a high near 80. A slight storm chance this evening, otherwise partly cloudy tonight, mid-50s. More sunshine for Thursday, warm and muggy with a few showers and thunderstorms by Thursday night. Highs mid-80s. It's 67 right now.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Ken, as I like to call him, my least favorite Martin, chairman of the Democratic National Committee.
The other night I said to myself for the first time, I don't know if I want to do this anymore.
Matt Flynn.
You go into combat and the general goes, I'm afraid. He reminds me of the coach of the Jets back in the 90s. The other team would come on the field and say, boy, they look big. No, I swear to God. And the Jets lost 12 games. I mean, right. You can't have this kind of stuff. Get this guy out of here. Put in Ben Wickler.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, along with Trigby Olson, senior advisor at Lincoln Project, will be here to discuss the state happenings, national happenings, and more. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
In today's edition of our daily newsletter, sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. We've got a story on the Wisconsin Center for Dairy Research as part of our June Dairy Month coverage. All kinds of ways that scientists look at having an impact on the quality, the texture, the flavor of cheese, a cheese's shelf life, marketability, and more. So learn about that. Learn specifically about Colby cheese, part of one of the many that were invented right here in Wisconsin. Also an article about Door County fish boils. We're getting to that season as well. And then up on our website, several stories that you should be checking out as well, including 9 Wisconsin businesses staffed by people living with disabilities, and a recap of some of the best fly fishing spots in Wisconsin. All of that and more on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. Remember, if you can't listen to us live, you can pod this program. Listen to us anytime on demand. Head over to Spotify or Apple and subscribe to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Time for our climate check with political strategist Melissa Baldoff, who also had a busy weekend at the state Democratic convention, where her hubs Joe Zepecki will join us tomorrow and talk about the campaign for state party chair. As usual, everybody puts on a unified face for Devin Remaker, but Joe could not have been more gracious in thanking Devin and William Garcia. And Melissa, I think you'd probably add a special thank you to all the folks who helped back Joe during his campaign. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. And yes, thank you so much to everybody who, supported Joe, of course, but also just everybody who was able to show up and attend the convention. It was a really lovely weekend. And it was, a fun and different experience for me, having been to so many of these as somebody who was a staff person for WISDEMS and helping to put on the convention for a number of years, and then, attending them, with various, bosses or, candidates, clients over the years. And so this was, my first one just kind of going to, but not really just going to, because I was there with my husband running for party office. So it was a little bit different experience all around, but still a good one.
Yeah, very much so. And I had forgotten, and I've done this a couple of times now, showing my age, but the convention moved to a Saturday, Sunday format recently. Well, I don't know how recently, but I was used to it being a Friday, Saturday thing. And I will take note that former state party chair Mike Tate had a post the other day about that, this was an interesting experiment, but maybe we should revisit the Friday-Saturday format. I'm not going to say one is right or wrong. I don't know if it's preference or logistics or whatever you want to call it. But if it was up to me, I'd still make it more of a Friday-Saturday thing. I don't know if you notice any difference in terms of turnout and, who's
significant, able to make it. Significant turnout. Difference. So there were, less than 1,000 votes cast for party chair at this convention. And the last time, 10 years ago, the last time there was a very hotly contested party chairs race, you know, there were like 1,300 or 1,400 mm-hmm. votes cast. So it was a significant drop off. And there was also a big drop off in the number of delegates that, you know, registered versus who voted. So, you know, I agree with Mike Tate that it's, you know, an opportunity to look at, you know, did the old format work better? I know that part of the reason people in the first place wanted to switch to Saturday and Sunday was just concerns maybe about, is that easier for people, you know, than trying to take Friday off of work? But, you know, I think that there's, you know, good points on both sides. Like you said, it's something to look at. I would also say it's something to look at if there are virtual options for attendance, if there are ways that people can, you know, maybe vote for a party chair, you know, at their, you know, congressional level caucus. You know, so, you know, I just think there's a lot we can talk about as a party to be more inclusive, to make this more accessible, because, you know, going away for a weekend in the Dells over Father's Day weekend is not cheap. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we want to bring in more people. And, you know, if you can't afford to go stay at a resort or a hotel nearby for the weekend, you know, you're priced out of going. If you're maybe somebody who doesn't work, you know, Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 job, and you have to work on the weekends, then you're not able to go. If you're a single parent who doesn't have anyone to watch your kids so you can go, you know, those are all things that make it, you know, put up a barrier to people being able to participate in the process. And as Democrats, you know, we believe in making our party more accessible to everybody. And, you know, if we want to bring in more people and get them as a part of the process, I think it's, you know, it's worth conversations.
From Ardith on Facebook, I was sorry to see Joe come up short, but I hope you two will continue to be very visible because I think you are the future of Wisconsin fair and honest government. That was nice of you, Ardith. Thank you for
putting that up. Well, that was very kind to hear. Thank you so much, Ardith.
And not everybody from the family could be a part of the convention because there was split allegiances. There were people that had to get over to Polish Fest, but for good reason, I hear.
Yes, absolutely. So usually our family is at Polish Fest, and usually quite a number of Joe's family is working at Polish Fest. And this year we have royalty in the family. I am so proud of our niece Everett, who is a Little Miss Polish Fest princess. We were so sad that we were not able to be there in person to cheer her on in her pursuit of the crown. But other family was there to be, you know, to support her, cheer her on. We got to see video and are so proud of her and her sister, Micah, who was also a runner up in her age group. So we're very proud of our little Polish princesses and look forward to, you know, celebrating Everett's reign alongside her. And, being at other festivals with the family over the summer.
That is just wonderful. And I do believe German Fest is another big one that you and Joe like to attend.
Absolutely. So anyone who wants to see Joe again, who likes what they've heard and seen from Joe Zepecki, can come find him at German Fest, where he will be, you know, grilling brats.
Yes, again, July 25th, 26th, 27th. So be on the lookout for that. We were talking with Earl Ingram in our last segment about all Summerfest and all the other festivals all summer long in the Milwaukee area. You really do want to check it out. Let's turn our attention to what's happening in politics. And this one's a little unusual because, I mean, obviously in these climate check segments, we do want to talk about the virtues of things like the Inflation Reduction Act and the tax credits that are going to create a whole new generation of clean energy jobs. So I'm not diminishing those in any way, shape, or form. When I set it up this way, Melissa, to say the House Trump big bloated boondoggle of a budget bill took out a lot of those credits. And also, of course, would do tremendous damage to Medicaid and all these other essential services. Now the bill's over in the Senate, and Senate Republicans there are not at all chagrined about what they're hearing about cuts to Medicaid and other vital programs. In fact, they added more cuts onto Medicaid and things like that. But they did salvage in their bill some of the green energy tax credits, which really tells you something about their priorities. I mean, yes, it's good for the climate. It's good for all that. But, I mean, they actually made deeper cuts to Medicaid so that they could preserve some of these clean energy tax credits. It just says something about priorities these days. But I guess we'll take out the good news, take away the good news from it, that these tax credits have some life support again to create new jobs in Wisconsin and elsewhere.
Yes, but I don't want to give them too much credit here.
Yeah,
because right. I don't want to say this is good news. I'm going to just say this is slightly worse news.
Yes.
Slightly less worse news. Excuse me. Yeah, slightly less worse news. So they did make some improvements to the House version, but they are still making very significant cuts to solar, wind, and other incentives here. I would say this is definitely falling short of being supportive of clean energy tax credits. But there are still some Republicans, Senate Republicans, talking about it. And there's still a little bit of time for some movement. And that's why we need people to keep talking to their senators and their members of Congress, because there is still opportunity to make changes here, which I think is the biggest takeaway people should have, that their voices and their advocacy have made a difference so far and can continue to do so. We've got some time. I mean, things are moving. There's that self-imposed July 4th deadline, but there is not a whole lot of room left between now and then for Republicans to meet that deadline. It's, looking more and more likely that they won't make it. So either way, though, the urgency is real, that we need folks reaching out and talking about this and talking about this publicly. What we're seeing from the Senate version is that they still would be phasing out these tax credits. They would just do it a little bit more slowly,
right?
Which is slightly good news.
Slightly less worse, yeah.
Right? But it really does fall short of giving people the ability to take advantage of these credits and improve their resilience, save money, and boost our economy.
And by the way, just to show that they are still almost entirely in lockstep with Trump's priorities, the EV incentives that are meant to move the U.S. away from fossil fuels, those would be gutted even more rapidly under the Senate bill. So, it is really a case of self-interest, where they see something that we've talked about in this segment before, that a lot of the clean energy jobs being created thanks to these tax credits and the Inflation Reduction Act are actually happening in red states and in red districts at a far greater rate than in districts and states that have Democratic elected officials. And so they're seeing the thing that is, most narrowly in their self-interest and saying, oh, well, we're good with those after all, I guess. But I mean, that's the only reason. It has nothing. There's nothing altruistic about this whatsoever.
No, of course not. There's nothing here that's, doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. The motivation to do the right thing would be to, absolutely protect themselves and their interests. But if we can get something positive out of that, that selfishness, I'll take it. Right. If the outcome is that we get the right policy, whatever the motivation is, I'll take it. But it's not the ideal way to get this done.
No, our theme today, less worse. That's
right.
Sometimes you take what you can get. Melissa Baldoff, thank you so much. And we will talk again real soon.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Thank you so much. Coming up, a local update is next for some of you, followed by Matt and Air on Air with Dr. Kristen Lyerly joining in at about 9:30. For those of you hanging here, we will wrap up the program with some Western and Northern Wisconsin news headlines with James Kelly right here in Chippewa Falls. And tomorrow, Todd Alba, Chad Holmes, Sean O'Malley, Joe Zepecki. Remember, you can follow me over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
During your working years, you know where your income is coming from. But once you retire, you'll have to know how much you can expect from different income sources and how to manage this income to help support a retirement that could last 2 or 3 decades. Your IRA and 401k will be key income sources. How much should you withdraw from these accounts each year? You'll want to pick a withdrawal rate based on various factors such as your age, health, and other sources of income. Next, consider Social Security. You can start collecting benefits at age 62, but your payments will be much bigger if you wait until your full retirement age between 66 and 67. By learning how to maximize your income sources, you can help yourself achieve a comfortable and more rewarding retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kinoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
When it comes to heating and cooling homes in central Wisconsin, make the call to the Bullpen for Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, a proud partner of your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. For more than 25 years, the Bryan experts have done whatever it takes to keep homeowners like you comfortable, from simple repairs and services to complete HVAC replacements and beyond. So no matter what you need, you'll know that their team has your back.
Need HVAC service now? Schedule yours by visiting comfortair.biz.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
You're going to have some people in there that are going to be needing these services, and some people in your community, some people in your neighborhood, some people that your kids go to school with. And to your point, it isn't as if anybody's walking around with a sign that says this. Many people, more times than not, are in need of these things, and they're not going to say anything, or they may not even, talk about it with others and everything. So when you're helping with something like this, you're not just helping a stranger, you're helping community, you're helping family, you're being a part of stuff. And you can do this just by taking in some baseball and dropping off a non-perishable food item, or even beyond that, keeping this going beyond today. And keeping this in your heart and your mind beyond today of how important this is next when, we've got the school season kicking off before we know it, and we'll have other needs there. That is a segue, Terry, because I did want to get into Stuff the Bus and talking a little bit about making sure that kids are registered for this.
Yeah, absolutely. So we, yes, shift gears now from books and diapers into school supplies. So this is a multifaceted, you know, kind of event. So there's two different areas. One, this is the time to register students for school supplies. So if you or, you know, your grandchild or whatever qualifies for free and reduced lunch, then that child also qualifies for free school supplies. They have to be registered. And the only way to register is to visit our website, uwswac.org. This has been sent home from the local school districts a few times, but it is available there. We do need information on the student. We need to know what grade they're going into. We need it so we know what supplies to provide. So you do have to fill that out. Oh, very occasionally we'll get somebody, well, I don't want to fill out the form. Well, that's the hoop. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, that's the big
ask. So we do need the information. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a computer at home or you know, easy access to a computer, it is mobile friendly. But if you don't have access, you can call 211 between 8 and 5 Monday through Friday when we have the phones local. Unfortunately, we can't serve the sign up form, you know, maybe at 8 o'clock at night, because mm-hmm. our 211 after hours calls are not handled locally. Mm-hmm. So if you need assistance, call between 8 and 5 Monday through Friday, 211, and they can walk you through the desk form. So all students who need supplies need to be registered. At the time of registration, you will select your pickup time. So pickup is done as a drive-through style. It happens the third weekend of August. So mm-hmm. Friday evening, Saturday morning are your options. I believe we have half an hour increments on there, and they are first come, first serve. So if, you know, if there's a 30-minute window that doesn't show, it's because it's full. And the reason that we do that is so that we don't have a line that is, you know, four miles long. We just want to keep the traffic flow moving. And so if your time slot is already filled, just pick the next best one that works for you. You will get a reminder card in the mail, and it is color coded by the half hour. So then we know who should be, you know, it should be just all green cards now or all purple cards. So you will want to watch for that via U.S. mail. But the important thing really is get your kids registered if they qualify. Registration open May 1st, closes August 1st. So now how do we serve all these kids, right? So we do a school supply drive that we call Stuff the Bus. And the idea is that now there are local businesses, organizations that are willing to be drop-off points. And then we collect, like everything culminates at Lunch by the River. We are the host, the sponsor of Lunch by the River on August 7th. And this is where you bring all of your school supplies. So if you are a business, organization, you're an individual, all the supplies come to Lunch by the River. And at that point, they get sorted and inventoried. So, you know, all the yellow folders go in one basket, all the red notebooks in another basket. Everything gets inventoried, and then we do a quick order for the things that we're missing. And then the next week, we actually do a pre-pack. So we utilize some local volunteers, and this is why we needed that information on your students, because we know that we have to pack 67 third grade backpacks. Well, here's the third grade supply list. Mm-hmm. Fill the backpack, put it in the third grade pile. Because then when they come through the drive-through and they say, you know, we have a third grader, a sixth grader, and a, you know, maybe a sophomore in high school, we can pull those packs and have them ready by the time they get around to the front of the building. So we do on our website have a list of most needed items that we need for donation. We also, if you are a local business who is listening and would love to get, you know, maybe you want get people through your doors, you could be a collection site, excuse me, and they will, we will provide you with a little media kit. So you'll have social media posts, you'll have signs, you'll have, you know, pretty much everything that you need. So that's another way to be involved, you know, from the business standpoint is to be a collection site and show, you know, how you commit to the community, you know, by donating and collecting.
Terry, are we going to look for some volunteers to help with this when it comes to the Lunch by the River event?
So we could use, yes, we could use some volunteers at Lunch by the River on August 7th. That would be sorting school supplies. supplies and counting. Then we moved the supplies from Lunch by the River over to East Junior High. And so we could use some hands over there to help us, you know, laying everything out for the pre-pack. We will be doing pre-pack that following week on August 15th. So there could be some help there, and then distribution. So if someone is interested in volunteering for Stuff the Bus specifically, you should get a hold of us at the United Way at 715-421-0390.
And make sure to do that right away, everybody, because then the more that they information they have on that and they know ahead of time, then they may not have to worry about having as many people.
Yes. And it is helpful to know, you know, how many we're going to have and how we work our way through that.
Yeah. And Terry, I think we covered everything. I think we nailed it. I think we got it. Encourage you, though, to go to uwswac.org to find out more information. Certainly when it comes to registration or volunteering or any of those things, 2-on-1 is also an option for you. Keep that in mind as well. And go to Facebook, go to Instagram, go subscribe to their pages, share their posts on your page. You just never know who might see them otherwise. Terry, thank you so much for the time.
You bet.
We will have more for you coming up. Be listening for that. And thank you to everybody for listening to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Iran's supreme leader is threatening irreparable damage if the U.S. gets involved in its six-day-old conflict with Israel. Israelis being advised to stay close to bomb shelters, schools, and non-essential businesses still closed. Tamar Weiss lives near Tel Aviv.
I wish everyone could be down here. I wish everyone would have a place that's as safe as here, because I think this is really the safest place in all of Ramat Gan, the whole city.
President Trump's made no secret of his admiration.
I have a warm spot in my heart for TikTok because I won youth by 34 points.
He's expected to extend the deadline for TikTok's Chinese owner to divest for another 3 months. Wall Street will be watching closely when the Fed meets today. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
What we're looking for from the Federal Reserve is how many interest rate cuts we're going to get this year. They're going to give updated economic projections, and just where they see inflation in the labor market going.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us.